This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
You are now in the pocket with Covell Hudson.
How's it going, pocket heads? It is... It is March 25th, I believe. Is that right? Yep, March 25th. We're in the second week of free agency. Second and a half, almost third week. I don't know. We're deep in there. And on today's show, we're going to discuss Chiefs. We're going to discuss Caleb Williams. And then we're going to do some it poop. And if you don't know what it poop is, it is in the pocket or out of pocket. So... with me today, and every day, or every Monday at least, is...
Tofu Panda. Kyle Collier producing.
Hey, look, he was on the other computer. He was doing something, but he's always ready.
I'm starting our Facebook live stream. I was a little late today.
A little late? All right, on CP time today.
I noticed cool. In your intro of the show, you did forget one very, very, very important segment
that we're all
very, very excited for.
My bad. My bad for the city of Kansas City. And the Royal Blue. Back for the first installment of 2024 is the Royals Rundown.
The Royals Rundown, baby. It's the minute of the show that belongs to me, baby.
It is. And, you know, those Royals, they know how to try to get something done. I mean, they were like, we want to move. Let's sign these guys. Let's get some excitement behind it. And, but yes, so... we're going to talk about free agency. The biggie big is the Snead trade. And we'll talk about Caleb Williams and the draft a little bit. And then we will talk about the Royals rundown. Then we'll do some it poop, which is in the pocket or out of pocket, which is when we ask questions and we say if they're in the pocket or out of pocket. That seems self-explanatory.
Yes, it is.
It's like, all right.
Nope. What did you think about the Snead trade?
The Snead trade.
What do you?
I personally, who likes to sit here like this? All right. So the Snead trade. I think it was. Let me put a grade on it. I haven't thought about what my grade is on it, but I like the trade. What's my grade? I think it's a B.
I honestly don't think you can grade it until you see what comes of it.
That's true.
Because remember when we got rid of Tyreek Hill. It was like everybody's, oh my God. And then it's like, is Snead gonna work out?
Yeah.
And he did. So
revisionist history on the Tyreek Hill trade. I mean, at first I didn't like it. I'm sure you didn't like it either.
I liked it. I think I was on record. Like
after we saw what the Chiefs got was Karloftis and McDuffie and others, I'm forgetting, but it was obviously worked out very well for the Chiefs.
It has. That's why I think on grades like that, when it's future picks, you can't really give a good, honest grade. So I'm sitting at a C right now.
Well, but I think every trade, there's two grades. There's the trade in the moment, in the media cycle, salary cap, and things like that.
Oh, then, yeah.
Draft capital, and then it is the down the road. So I think with the Tyreek Hill trade, I think the Chiefs won in the moment. And I think they won over time because you know, like, remember the Raiders traded Khalil Mack about 5 years back. And the Raiders won the trade that day.
Yeah.
But then you see, so they got an A on that. But then you saw what they turned it into. And none of those guys are on the team.
Yeah, I think two of their first rounders are.
They blew.
One's in prison. One went to jail and now is no longer in the league.
Yeah. So I think it's safe to say they lost the back end of that deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. They blew that.
So
they blew it. So give them two grades. I'll come with that.
So, yeah. So in the moment today, I give it a B. Just because the only reason it's a B is because the only way I'd give it an A is if we got a second round. And if it was this year, you know, I think that's the only thing that'll change it for me. Everybody's saying we didn't get enough for Snead, but we got him for a fourth. We drafted him for a fourth. We developed him.
And we freed up, I mean, almost $20 million. So.
Well, that's a huge. Yeah, that's the huge.
So it's almost like, here, put this $20 million in your pocket and go and purchase. They bought our car. They bought our Snead car. And now, you know what I'm saying? Now it's like you have $20 million to go get you a new ride.
No, it is like they paid us $20 million to take them off our hands. Essentially, what it was, because the Chiefs were on the hook for $20 million because they franchise tagged them, and they said, "Well, here, you take this long contract and pay him over the next 4 years, 2.5. You know how that works, but pay him over the next 4 years and give us $20 million, and we'll be good." And
that's we'll be good.
So I think that's good. So when the Chiefs got rid of Tyreek Hill, that money that Tyreek Hill wanted, it turned into a Minshew. It turned into Mike Edwards. It turned into
We got a few good players.
Yeah, Tranquil
for that price.
Tranquil
and more. But yeah.
So yeah, I like the trade. I even like the trade for Snead, because for Sephora God is 27, which is an older prime for a cornerback in the league. For him to come out as a fourth round pick and, you know, turn into somebody that was a shutdown corner, for him to get paid. Because, like, yeah, I selfishly wanted him here.
I did. I thought he was going for
$13 million.
And that was the battle, right? Like, most wanted him here for a chance at a three-peat. That was kind of the battle. Like, in the moment, Covell, right? Most people were mad at the it's a third round pick in 2025 and a seventh, or I think it was a seventh round pick for 2024.
A seventh swap.
Oh, okay.
So
most people were, most people would be like, why not just keep him for another year?
Let me ask you guys.
Then you'll definitely get nothing for him.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that diminishes just a little bit of the three-peat talk?
No, I don't think so at all.
That he has any bearing on it?
No, I don't think so. So
I think it's reasonable to expect the defense to take a step back, and now definitely without Snead. But they've upgraded on the offensive end. So,
but you remember those cornerbacks that when we won the Super Bowl last year, before we had McDuffie, those guys played good. Jalen Watson, mm-hmm. Joshua Williams.
And I think the Chiefs love the young guys in the secondary.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it out. Yeah, out in the secondary.
They wouldn't have traded them if they didn't feel good about them.
And I think they putting their money for that push up front. Like, if you get the pressure up front, you can get a mediocre quarterback or a competent bum to play a corner. It's almost like stay with him, you know what I'm saying? Just stay with him, and then we'll go ahead and worry about the rest. As long as we get that pressure and push up front.
Well, because, yeah, if you think about it this way, you look at Chris Jones' impact, what he did, especially at the end of those games. The Chiefs don't win a Super Bowl if they don't have Chris Jones.
No, and then, they do not.
And then if you put it the same way, well, the Chiefs have won that Super Bowl if they had L'Jarius Sneed. And you can say, I mean, maybe.
The man gave up one touchdown.
I mean, yeah.
The entire season.
Yeah, but the defense as a unit was solid. The MVPs of the Chiefs defense, I believe it would have to be Chris Jones. It had to be our defensive line and then linebacker corps. That sounds disrespectful. So I don't even
know. The entire defense as a whole was the MVP. I mean, it's absolutely – it sounds disrespectful to leave somebody out.
But everybody had played that position.
The secondary was nails. The linebacking core, although it dealt with injuries, was still nails.
I think because you can always go to, like, a certain play that everyone has had on defense to say, this could have been the tide of the game. This could have turned the tide of the game here. If this Chief doesn't make this play here – we're dead. If this Chief don't make this, if Cook doesn't back this down, we're in trouble, you know. So
I don't think it's distributed that way. I think if you take Chris Jones off this defense, this defense turns very normal. This defense turns into 22nd in the league.
Well, that's because
you take
of the
Snead off. Well, yeah, but that's a big yeah.
Good
that's
pressure. I mean, you know, a cornerback covers one guy, but a defensive line getting pressure covers all of them.
Yeah, he like Karloftis is balling because Chris Jones needs all that work. Mm-hmm. Minshew was able to come in and make an impact, especially in the playoffs, because people have to deal with Chris Jones. Yeah. So I think the Chiefs made that decision when they paid Chris Jones, right, and not Snead. And I'm sure they could have got this deal from a few different teams, but they wanted to send him somewhere where they was going to sign him to the deal that they thought he deserved.
No, I think the big hang-up, this trade kind of took a while. We all kind of expected it to happen, you know, in the first couple of days of free agency.
Yeah.
I think the hang-up was Snead wanted to get a bag.
Yeah,
he wanted the bag. I mean, I got two rings.
Yeah. And if it wasn't
if I never see one again.
Yeah, if it wasn't for that contract negotiation, I think they would have held on to him and put somebody in a pressure situation during the draft. That's kind of what I wanted to see. Like, oh, you want to move up? You want this here? You're going to have to take Snead and give us this pick, or if we wanted to. So, yeah. So, like I said, yeah, I give it a B. Its first grade is a B. What's the grade you would give?
I have to move up to a B minus.
B minus?
I think I'm at a B minus as well, yeah.
Yeah.
So what would y'all want to done differently?
Obviously, I think I would have wanted a better haul, but I don't think they would have got one.
And then I
guess just a B for me, Tennessee, considering the haul.
I wouldn't want them in Tennessee. I wouldn't want them that close.
Tennessee.
I want
to. NFC.
I'm not threatened.
No, that's AFC.
No, they're AFC, but you're not threatened by Will Levis, are you?
I'm not, but at the same time, I would rather him be in the NFC and not, you know.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's understandable.
And if we see him again, then we'll see him at, then his team got to the dance.
Yeah.
You know? But the Chiefs are almost like, we're not worried about it. We made you.
Oh.
We made you, this organization, this stability, Spags. Wow, who's the?
We'll just have to watch him on the corner blitz, you know, make sure he doesn't catch Pat in the blind side.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't be nice.
Right? We do not want to see Snead on the Titans on a corner blitz.
Or if he hems up Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
Get off him.
Yeah. Like, hey, what are you guys thinking about MVS going to the Jets?
He did?
I didn't even see that. It's a possibility. Oh, okay. It's a possibility. He didn't.
Yeah, last I checked,
but
he's
it's
still
a possibility.
On the market.
No, I'd like MVS
with
the
going
Jets.
To the Raiders, and you know it.
He's going to go with the Raiders.
It does feel Raiders-y.
It does feel Raiderish.
But I still think he's going to be a solid $600 yards a year receiver in this league. Well, just think about it. If we were like, what are we paying Hollywood Brown? 8.5?
Yeah, it's like 7.
Well, the final details came out.
Incentives go to 11.
Yes, but I think the base was 8.5.
Okay,
which I thought was going to be 7. That's kind of that was kind of a bummer. But imagine MVS here the last couple years on a $7 million deal. I think the thoughts of MVS would be different. But the fact that he was here for $12 million.
No, money doesn't make you catch balls.
Nobody ever came.
I mean, he was the guy on the outside, and last year, did he get 300 yards? He had 20 catches.
No, but he was like the best ineffective decoy in the world. Who else could pull off MVS as the decoy?
So you mean to tell me you're going to go duck hunting and you're going to pay $1 million for one of those the little dummy ducks that they have or whatever?
Yeah.
For them decoy ducks.
A scarecrow. That's what MVS was. He was a scarecrow.
I didn't say I would search that out, but –
If he was on the roster for the dirt, you would have kept him?
I don't know about kept him. See, but look, I don't know about kept him. But if we had him for cheap, then it wouldn't be as impactful as those plays that he were making. Almost like Kadarius Toney wasn't the worst receiver in the league last year, but everybody.
He was close.
No, he wasn't.
What?
Look, he didn't. Listen, if he was on a team, if Kadarius Toney was on a team, let's say like the Jets. Well, let's say he didn't get hurt.
He needed rubber boots, a whole waiter uniform.
See, this is so disrespectful.
He was so deep in doo-doo last year in catching the ball.
Was he not a young guy? Does he not have some growing? Imagine yourself at 21 or 22, however old he is. Imagine yourself at 22.
I can catch.
Okay, listen, I'm not talking about catching. It's more than just catching.
It's like the first step.
No, yes. but y'all know that there's more to life, there's more than to the game than just catching a ball. Like, he's a young fella, and young people have to go through things and figure things out.
Oh.
And so, like, sometimes if your life isn't at home, isn't going well, or you haven't figured out who you are necessarily, when you get into a game, it's not just automatic that you're going to catch the ball great. Does that make sense?
He had 27 catches last year.
Listen.
I think three of them ended up on the other team.
Okay. So, but listen, if he was on a team like the Jets or even the Broncos, they would have no choice but to force feed and depend on Tony. So you guys think that 30% of the time the ball gets thrown to Kadarius Tony, he was going to tip it in the air and it's going to be ran back?
Or he basically did.
Or he wasn't going to catch it.
No, but listen.
You said
the Chiefs. Who do the Chiefs have? The Chiefs have Travis Kelce. They had this last year. Who they have to get? Rashee Rice.
So you can't even think. You're struggling.
No, but my point is.
You said no. That catching is more about. Listen.
I'm not taking away the importance of catching for a receiver.
I'm just saying. Ishmael Rocket, you said it's more you know, facets to the game. So Ishmael Rocket was fast as hell for the Raiders, but he couldn't catch. So okay. There's a great
John
decoy.
John Brown.
Okay, yes.
A great decoy.
But those people had a long history of not being able to catch. Kadarius Toney does not have a long history of not being able to catch. These last couple years, this last year was a symptom of trying to do too much. I have Patrick Mahomes.
I believe that. Yeah.
I have Travis Kelce over here rooting me on. Everybody here has won a Super Bowl. I have Andy Reid. I have Brett Veach this summer saying he can be our number one receiver. That's a lot of pressure for a young fella to just be thrown in that situation.
He'll be going into his fourth year, right?
Yes.
Fourth year in the NFL.
Sneeze. When do you have his breakout year?
Fourth year.
It's fourth
all
year.
Right. So you're calling it?
I'm calling it.
All right.
We're going to come back to this.
For sure. We're not going anywhere.
We're coming back for this.
Y'all it pooped him up out of here several times.
I always poop him here. I'm telling you.
He's going to be a part of the game plan next year. He's just going to be wide receiver three or four.
And you know what? Or six. So he's going to come into the season almost in the doghouse in the eyes of the public. The Chiefs staff hasn't changed their thoughts of Kadarius Toney. He's a project. When they got him the first day, he was a project.
He was a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl.
And look at what they did with Toney. He said that they're lying about the
he's a young dude.
Right? They felt the need to keep him on IR, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And so it's one of them things that they see something in him that's like, he needs to be on that practice squad a little bit longer or something.
Well, yeah.
He's not, but.
All right. So listen, me being a young guy, all right, I was a freshman and I went to Highland Community College in the Jayhawk Conference. And they only kept 12 out of states. It was Kansas and I was from Missouri. So I counted as out of state. So I was battling with studs all over the country to be one of the 12 on the team. So I went in, I earned a scholarship during the summer. I got the scholarship. Things was going pretty well. I was battling. I was 155 pounds, but I had heart. That's what I had. I had this.
All right, Rudy. Go Rudy. Black Rudy.
Black Rudy.
Blue Rudy.
All right. So, yeah. After training camp or whatever, they started doing the cuts, and then they started redshirting people. And my position coach came to me, and he said, "You got the most heart of any running back here. You know, first day of training, first day of summer, don't you do it."
That lets you know,
what you tell a guy. He's not making the team.
Yeah, like,
all right.
You sure got heart, boy.
Can I finish?
That's what they told me when I got cut from the baseball team in high school. You're a smart player, and you know the game well, and you obviously love the game, but there's just not enough spots, kid.
I walked myself into that one, but let me finish. what he said was because, wow, what was it? Where was I? Now I'm a scrub on the show. Basically, because he knew how I was going to take it because I had gotten into a few scuffles. And matter of fact, first day of camp, I asked him, I said, of the returning linebackers, who's the toughest? Who's the one that usually gets in scrambles with people.
Was you going out for the football team with prison rules, man?
Yes.
It's like, I'm going to go knock him out.
No. So if I was running a 22, I would run and I would try to specifically match up with him head to head to let everybody know that I ain't no little dude out here, because I'm a little dude out here. You know what I mean? But anyways, yes, he came to talk and he said, and it was amongst other things. I don't think the first thing he said was, you got heart.
He did the classic manager.
No, let me finish.
Thing where you fire somebody. He gave you a positive.
I didn't get fired.
Oh, okay.
You do great work.
No, but yeah, see, that's the point. That's the point. I didn't get fired. I fired myself, essentially. All right, so here.
You always hit your deadline.
So what
we
he said.
We gotta let you go.
They didn't let. All right. They said. See, y'all keep throwing my story off. Y'all keep throwing me off. What was I talking about?
What you matched up with
no,
the back?
Okay.
What'd you do?
All right. Oh, no. I didn't win all of them, but I got up quick. I got up first. I was always where I was supposed to be. But anyway, he said, you know, they believe in me long term on the team. But what he said was, in this conference, we don't think your frame will be able to hold up for 12 weeks. And then into the playoffs. He said, we don't think you'll be able to hold up. So what we're going to do is we're going to redshirt you. We're going to put about 15 or 20 pounds on you and have you coming back next year where you know the system, you know the staff, you know this little city. I was going to disparage the town.
Oh, it's tiny.
It's tiny and awful.
It's tiny.
I'm not going to disparage. But he told me that. And what I heard was, you too little. You too little to play to impact this team this year. Well, matter of fact, I didn't even hear that part. I just heard, you too little, we don't want you on the team. So you can put Dallas and Lucius on there. So they kept two out of state running backs. And I was the third, so they wanted to redshirt me and get some weight on me. But I was 20 years old. So I didn't hear it the way that I should have heard it. Kadarius Toney should have heard the situation as, okay, the season was went bad. My confidence, he got the yips a little bit. His confidence was kind of shot. Media turned on you. Let's hide him. You know what I mean? Let's hide him. Let's take him away. Let's work on the basics, because the plan always was for the long term of Kadarius, not to just throw him in there. He got thrown in preseason. He got thrown in the year before, but he did pretty good. So does that make sense? He's a young fella. Yeah. You don't just give up on young talent. But yes, and what I did was I eventually talked my way off that team. Talking crazy to the coaches.
Okay.
And
so Kadarius Toney be the anti Covell.
Be the anti Covell.
This offseason.
He was more talented, so they wanted to keep him around. That's for sure. Hey, they were like, hey,
I don't think they can keep him, man. I think he's going to be gone.
I think they're bringing him. He'll be back.
Well, and what if Seren Petro tells that story about the Royals player or something like that? But it was a Royal, I forgot. But he was like, basically, the moral of the story was, it was a guy that told him, you're not good enough to be an a-hole.
Yeah,
You've heard the story.
Yeah.
You're not good enough to be an a-hole. I wasn't good enough to be an a-hole, but Kadarius Toney is.
Now, see.
He is toeing the line, though.
No.
I mean, he was being a nuisance, and they kept him out of the playoffs.
One time.
But
he was
one
a
time.
One time.
On,
and they
times.
Slapped him on the wrist by not suiting him up.
But your production.
Out there,
okay,
house
yeah,
shoes.
So that was strike one.
Your production has to match your energy, bro. You can't have Twitter fingers and have fumble fingers at the same time.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
I hate that was kind of funny.
It's the right point. It's a good point.
Well, I'm a comedian. That's what I do.
But like, we don't talk about that enough on the show. We need to start. We got to start bringing more comedy.
But that is
stuff.
The truth. He got Twitter fingers, but he got fumble fingers. If you got Twitter fingers, you got to have that type of energy.
Butter fingers, more.
You know what I'm saying? You know how kids get right bullied online. You got, and then now you go behind the keyboard and you see like it's a 10-year-old kid with glasses. that's Kadarius Toney.
Okay.
With his production.
All right, I'm gonna dig deep in the bag for this one. Eddie George, when he was in college as a freshman, they had four running backs on the roster already. But Eddie George led the team in touchdowns. But late in the playoffs, who are they playing? Oh, man. Eddie George, freshman year, and they played against, I want to say, not USC. It seemed like Iowa or something. But, okay, they were playing a game in the playoffs, and he fumbled twice. He fumbled two times in the goal at the goal line, in the goal area. What's it called?
Red zone.
He fumbled two times in the red zone. So they lost that game because of him, and he was in the doghouse.
Against Illinois.
Illinois. See, I knew it was Iowa-ish or something. Yeah, they lost to Illinois. So as a freshman, he led the team in touchdowns. He had a nickname of, like, Touchdown Eddie George. That's the first time that came, because every time he got in the game, he was able to find a way into the end zone. But he fumbled twice into the season. It ended their season, and he had to deal with that. That next year, he was still kind of in a doghouse. They didn't give him the ball that much. But then that third and fourth year, he had some of the greatest seasons in college football history. He ended up winning the Heisman. So I think we have to look at things, especially people that are talented and young, we have to look at things on a period of time, not just in the moment last year, just throw them away. We know Plantation Ty. Don't put up with nothing.
I am a firm. You're right. Here you go. And I was about to say, listen.
So Kadarius Toney should be the front runner for the offensive MVP next year.
Whoa, settle down. I didn't say all that.
According to your numbers, in 4 years, he's gonna be a freaking superstar,
Eddie George,
right?
Comparison, won the Heisman. What's the NFL equivalent?
So you guys, if Kadarius Toney, how does this get on Kadarius Toney anyway? How do we do this? But if Kadarius Toney ends up with 600 yards this year.
I'm sorry.
So you don't think he's capable?
I apologize.
So you don't think he's capable of 600 yards in this offense?
I'm sorry. That wasn't a laugh or a giggle. That was a hiccup. I was hiccuping. And
as the young kids say, cap.
His rookie year, he had 420 yards, and then 171, 171, and then 169.
Where did you get this 600 number from?
I said this next year.
His numbers put
together. I'm looking
at
the Chiefs receiver room. The Chiefs have touchdown. Oh, man, I have a.
In 3 years, touching it.
Have I told the story of Antonio Brown's daddy coaching me at Fort Scott?
Yeah.
What an a-hole. All right, what were we talking about?
So,
are we going to have the same conversation this year about Sky Moore?
Well, Sky Moore is different. He's a regular dude.
Yeah.
Kadarius Toney's not a regular dude.
What makes him not a regular dude?
What do you mean?
No, he's electric when he catches the ball and gets it in his hand. And we saw last year.
He couldn't be a GM. He could cut Travis Kelce after he dropped those two balls.
He's a return guy. Hey, I am an up next guy.
All right, Travis, come sit on the bench.
Yeah. Travis, learn your lesson.
Blake Bell, get out there.
He would have put this soft cap on.
He would have fired Andy Reid after 4 years with Alex Smith.
I didn't say fire him.
No, would have. But with your logic.
But I do.
Go over there to the field phone. Go call your girlfriend.
No, listen.
That's what you would have said.
I'm just a firm believer as when somebody show you, believe him. That's who he is. Kadarius Toney is who he is. It's not coincidence that all the controversy is surrounding this kid. You know what I'm saying?
All the controversy.
Like, okay, hold on.
He hasn't thrown a vacuum. He hasn't thrown a punch.
No, he forced his way off the Giants by saying they lied about an injury. And then last year with the Chiefs, he said the Chiefs are lying about an injury.
What we were talking about it earlier.
And on the Giants, he had 420 yards, and he looked like an electric first rounder. Couldn't stay healthy. It can't do that on the Chiefs either, apparently.
Exactly.
But with the Chiefs, he didn't produce. He had no production. Whereas with the Giants, he did.
Well, he got hurt.
Where's the special?
The one. Of course he did.
He got hurt.
That's what he does.
So now is he Grant Hill?
I am rooting for him to be MVP, offensive MVP next year. I am rooting for it.
Kadarius. Look, KT.
Don't you talk to Kadarius.
Listen, this is going to you. Don't be a Grant Hill of the NFL.
Oh, boy.
The greatest story never told.
He was ready for Austin.
But he didn't get to play like he wanted to. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's happening for him now.
Yeah. So that's not happening. He still made a Hall of Fame. He would have been one.
I want him to be.
He would have been a top five player if he didn't get hurt.
Well, I'm saying Grant Hill because he still has to say he's still able to put Super Bowl on his resume. Is why I'm saying Grant Hill, and with the injuries, keeps him from being great. You know what I'm saying? So he's just a regular person. What special, what has he done okay. where it's just right. like, ooh.
The potential, though, is a little bit higher.
Okay, so look.
This Sky Moore?
This Sky Moore, yeah.
For sure.
For sure. Had A, B, C, Sky Moore's potential is a C.
And go somewhere with this. Sky Moore going to catch the ball and tackle not long after.
The ball might not get thrown his way because he doesn't get open.
Yeah, that's true.
Get open.
But, so just like, I had a parallel Caleb. Because we're gonna talk about Caleb Williams in a second.
Anybody that makes the NFL is special. But
there's different levels of special.
Yeah,
I think
but
we can
when
say.
We're talking about on that level, Kadarius Toney is just a regular dude.
Okay, but look. So if you can have a regular dude that's a little bit, if he's a regular dude, he's at the upper echelon of regular dudes.
Yeah.
And Sky Moore is in the mid range of regular dudes. You know, so.
Tony, he just needs to produce next year to break through that ceiling of the
regular dude. But we'll that's the thing, though. So the Chiefs have Hollywood Brown. They have Rashee Rice. They have Travis Kelce. I don't know why I said it in that order. But they have
top three.
They have those guys. And then they have who would be the next receiver after that? Justin Watson? He's consistent.
What I'm thinking. Is he still on the team?
Yeah,
he's consistent.
So we have Justin Watson. We have Sky Moore. I don't know if what the dread fella is coming back. Richie James. I don't think he's coming back.
He's still a free agent.
So
Justin Ross, don't forget him.
So you think in a system, Justin Ross, so you think in a system with those four guys, Kadarius Toney doesn't have value in going in every once in a while. Like I said, like a souped-up Mecole Hardman.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, that's what we need to be looking at him as, not as a – possession receiver. We don't need him to have 1,000 yards.
It's just up to him if he wants that heart. Because right now, I don't see any heart from him.
I don't see it.
If the Chiefs didn't have Travis Kelce.
I saw a lot of him blaming other people.
What did that have to do with his production when the ball came your way? When the ball came your way, that was your chance. That had nothing to do with because we have Kelce, because we have other receivers. It means nothing. He had his opportunities, and he blew them.
Okay, but like, once again, I think I used the example before. When Trent Green first got here, after the first year, during the first year, what was the title on the newspaper about Trent Green? Do y'all know?
I was too young.
Yes, you were. It was T-R-I-N-T, Trent Terception. Trent Green.
Kansas City did that?
Kansas City.
That's
the Kansas
New
City
York
Star.
Times
I believe Jason Whitlock was still.
Oh, okay. That explains it.
Well, I don't think he was the main editor. I mean, I don't know if he was the editor and the graphics guy. But Trent Terception. So based on this logic, we should have got rid of Trent Green before he had the Pro Bowl seasons. Things take time. And
we are in.
To Kadarius Toney is a two-time Super Bowl champion.
Kadarius.
The water boy.
Kadarius.
Tony is the water boy. The water boy is a two-time champion, too. You know what I'm saying?
I.N. Toney.
No.
Dropped I.N. Toney.
I am behind Kadarius Toney. I think I'm going to do a weekly Kadarius Toney watch because
Kadarius Toney right
where
now.
Where is he now?
Kadarius Toney right
he's
now.
At a Tiki Taco. Oh, he dropped the ball.
No, I knew it. I tried to catch you before you did it. I tried to catch it.
See, you just
like Toney, you couldn't catch it.
You tried to catch it and you couldn't catch it.
We will be back
and
after
you
this.
You can't follow him because he deleted all of his social media, so.
No, the Chiefs
thank
didn't
God.
Do that. Sure.
Thank God.
I'm sure they
the
like,
world needed that.
We will be back after this. We will be back after this, after these messages. But we will discuss Caleb Williams. But before then, we will do the Chiefs rundown. Oh, man. It was good. We'll do the Royals rundown. We're out of here. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be. Pocket Heads, we are back, and that this song here made it through post-production. I mean, it made it through pre-production meeting.
Is this from the 70s?
It's from a time when the Royals, they drove to the station in Flintstone cars or something.
when they, it was stickball when they was. And it was the Athletics when this song came out, wasn't it?
Yeah, they at least had two different water fountains in the building. At least.
That's why they got to get a new stadium.
That's why. Those that song came from Royal players that had 9-to-5 jobs.
Okay, they sold cars.
They sold cars on the weekends. They were still at the deli shop. You know what I'm saying? Butchering meat and stuff.
One of them was the butcher, I bet. Well, yeah, we are back, Pocket Heads. It is Monday. You are listening to 94.5 FM, 1510 AM, ESPN, Kansas City, and these guys were wrong. It seems like they forgot about the Kadarius Toney punt return, but we're done with that. We don't have any more time.
No, we don't have any more time.
But right now, it is time for the first edition of the 2024 Royals Rundown.
Go, Kyle.
That's right, guys. I know you were excited.
I thought you had some music.
Here it comes. I could tell by our exchange in the group message how excited you guys were to have this segment back. Now let's think back about a year. One of my first editions of this segment in 2023.
You were optimistic.
I was very optimistic. And yeah, what happened? The second, third worst record wise season in the Royals history.
The Royals were rebuilding.
They had the record, didn't they?
What has changed, guys? Besides the stadium discourse, I'm not going to talk about that. We're just going to talk about the team.
The Royals spent some money. They took care of homegrown talent. And, yeah, they took care of some pitching. They got some pitching guys. They have a pretty experienced staff. I like the staff that the new guy brought in. Mm-hmm. That makes me sound like I've been covering the Royals.
You know what you're talking about.
I know what I'm talking about.
You want to do this segment?
No, not that.
They actually look like they about to get back to what got them winning. Get to that small ball.
So what they did was they brought in veterans, guys who have been there and done that.
Winners.
Yeah. Michael Wacha in the rotation. Seth Lugo in the rotation. They went out and spent $32 million on those guys. And then the bullpen, entirely new roster
and,
there.
And that's where it starts always with me. I'm a baseball guy like yourself, and it starts with the pitching.
Yeah.
Always. Well, of course, it starts with the pitching. Mm-hmm. But if you just got a guy hitting a bunch of singles and everything else, and you got some dope pitching, you're gonna come out ahead.
Royals had like the worst pitching staff last year.
It was terrible.
It was awful.
I could have hit off of them a few.
So times. What they did was essentially the last year, Brady Singer was one of your top starters. Now he's about your fourth or fifth guy. So what they've done is just raised the floor significantly.
Yeah,
we'll see about the ceiling. I think that really. That depends on the young lineup, which I'm very excited for, by the way. Bobby Witt Jr. should continue his status as one of the young stars in the game.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be a superstar.
Vinny Pascantino is back and healthy, which is
– I'm working here. Yeah. I'm working
which
here.
Which is a great sign. The offense should excite me, but what excites me even more is the overhaul they did. I think in years past – the Royals just kind of said, we'll fix it from within, you know.
They spent money on dudes who can play. Instead of just putting it into one guy like they usually do, like this guy is going to just make our team. No, they actually spread that money out and got some great talent. Yeah. So
why did they do it?
It's definitely about the stadium.
Okay, all right.
That's definitely a part of it, but also this team would have been – just as bad if they didn't.
What you mean?
If they did not overhaul or sign any free agents. They spent a lot of money in the offseason.
Yeah.
If that pitching was the same,
I would not be excited. I would not have suggested a Royals rundown segment
Why
today.
Why were you so optimistic in that group beginning last year? Is it because the fandom in
the spring? Their spring.
That, was. Yeah. And I expected the group of young starters they had to step up. Now, Chris Bubich got hurt. I know you always laugh at that dude. Yeah. Daniel Lynch was bad.
That's a great word.
Brady Singer was bad.
Can we get Bubich as a drop? I don't know why.
Yeah. When he returns mid-year.
All right.
We'll get that as a drop. Pascantino, he got hurt last year, too.
I'm working.
Really, the only player who took a step up last year was Bobby Witt Jr. And that's about it. One guy in baseball can't do it. Look at Mike Trout.
Cannot.
He's cannot. Stuck in baseball hell over there in Anaheim.
He got the bag, though.
Yeah, he did. He got the bag.
He dropped his Brinks home.
But he is never going to see the playoffs.
No, but he drove that Brinks truck home every day.
So like, basically, I think last year, I think I told you guys I wanted around 75 wins. They got 56.
Not too bad. I mean, it ain't.
It's only 162 games.
They didn't
don't worry about it. 20.
This year, I want 75 or more.
If you was an NBA team, you'd be pretty good.
Maybe that succeed or something like that. Yeah.
I want a 73-9 team, you know.
Yeah, no, exactly.
They're not going to be that good, but give me – increase the win count by 20.
Let's be exciting.
Yeah, exactly. I think if you do that, you'll be an exciting
Let me not
time.
Be a sucker for buying
And let's not
tickets.
Forget, you know, last year they traded Aroldis Chapman and they found a gem in Cole Reagans, who's going to be the opening day starter and was arguably the best pitcher in baseball last year.
I think they need to buy in what had the Royals win their last chip.
No, they're not going to go back to small ball. No, that's no. That's a 10-year process. Say,
no, the game has changed.
Yeah, that's a 10-year process.
They save baseball. So I love that Royals team.
We've spoke about that. Yeah, and that's
exactly.
Arguable.
It's arguable.
That's arguable.
But it made me love baseball again. And I ain't gonna lie, I'm a hard sell. Plantation Ties are hard sell.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
But I just I like the moves
Except
that they make.
Backup quarterbacks.
I'm catching shrapnel. But I think the biggest thing, though, not that particular team, because they are who they were, but they had fun. That was the biggest thing.
Aww.
Like, if you notice.
I don't care about them having fun.
No,
like, the Chiefs complaining about the facilities.
No.
I don't care about the facilities.
If you notice that Royals team, you could tell when they was having fun. They playing, they fighting everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
They were winning.
They should have had fun. Winning is fun. They should have had fun against Madison Bumgarner.
Even when the Chiefs, don't you look at the sideline, you'd be like, they not having fun. They not having fun in this game.
Travis Kelce assaulted Andy Reid in the Super Bowl, and he won the Super Bowl. I don't want to hear fun.
It was a hip check. It was a hip check.
That was an assault. If somebody did that to
somebody
my grandpa, we fight.
Somebody, okay, on the call, somebody on the phone saying, "Hey, so you ain't gonna press charges, right? You good? Well, we good, Andy.
You hit my pop like that. We got a problem.
Totally was." Yeah, I'm totally sorry about that. Is he sorry about that because we won the Super Bowl, or is he genuinely sorry?
No,
if the Chiefs lose that game, that is a talking point.
Oh, that is awful.
For like weeks, and it would be annoying as hell.
The crumbling of the dice?
Yeah, exactly.
they're starting to fold. Look
but
at
if
them.
If Kadarius Toney did it in the Super Bowl,
Stephen A. Smith would have been on air. Disgraceful, you know?
Yeah.
They need to go ahead, and they need to just get rid of Kelce. That's what I say.
that is good.
To wrap up
my Royals rundown here, guys.
Hold
I think
okay, go ahead.
Last year we did it for maybe 2 weeks into the year, and
the team was so bad, I was like,
screw that.
2 months? You kept coming
no way.
And dejected.
We did it for he was excited in spring training. It was spring because they it looked good.
If we were to
and
hear
then
the audio,
the season started, and they was like. Was we just playing ball? What do we do here?
No, and they got off to a horrible start, and they were horrible the rest of the year.
The horrible.
So I want to see this year. I hope it does last 2 months. I hope we go for a lot longer. I hope I'm doing Royals rundown segments in July.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year, I was not.
Well, we may have to commit to doing it all year, no matter how they are, but. If they're bad, it just gets shorter. Royals run down. Bad.
And I go,
we're out of here.
They went 1-5 this week. Covell, back to you.
Yeah. All right. So, and I know we got to get out of here. We ran over time. But I believe this Royals team, I'm not a polished. I played baseball my junior year.
You're not sold.
I'm not. Well, I'm not going to say I'm not sold. But. The defense. There's no special guys on defense.
For the Royals.
In my opinion, from my naked eye, I don't see a special shortstop, a special first baseman, a special outfielder. Everybody. So the pitching is going to be better, but we don't have that. I'm not going to say quick twitch muscle.
But that's
you're right about first base. You're the corner outfield defensively. Yeah. Isbell in center, one of the best in the league.
But
Garcia and Bobby Witt, actually two of the best in the league.
Yeah, really. But if you're talking about you done beefed up your pitching, just like we talk about with the Chiefs, you know, putting the money in on the front line part, you know what I'm saying? Because they expect to get that pressure. You know what I'm saying? Spags is about pressure. Pressure, pressure, pressure. So with the Royals, you got a great pitching staff. You can have some competent bums.
Yeah,
you can have some competent bums catching the balls. You know, because you are special because you got there. I don't want to take nothing from these guys, even the guys riding the bench.
Who could win a Golden Glove this year? Do we have any candidates for a Golden Glove?
Bobby Witt, Bobby Witt short. Michael Garcia at third. Should have won one last year. And Isbell in center.
Okay. I think if we have two Golden Gloves, the Royals would be good.
Okay.
If we have zero or one, the Royals are going to be.
I want some silver sluggers. We need some more. We need some offense.
Yeah.
And
with a below.
Remember, we used to talk about the Chiefs defense being 29th, 30th overall in the league.
Yeah.
That's the Royals pitching staff. If they can get up to 15, way better.
And, you know, I think we just broke a record for the longest Royals.
Yeah, we did. And that's my fault.
No, it's good. No, this was a good conversation. Yeah.
I know you wanted to talk Caleb Williams, and we don't have much time, but go for it.
We can still do some Caleb. We still have to take another break. We can do a minute break in a second here. And, it's behind the scenes, people. You're getting all of it.
Getting all of it.
So I almost want to come back from break because I don't want to get into Caleb and then have to leave Caleb and come back to Caleb.
Caleb. You don't want to leave and come back? So you on my it poops, you'll be happy with my it poops.
So we will be back after this. We will talk about Caleb a little bit. We may have to talk about Caleb next Monday because I think we got a lot to kind of break down with him. And then we'll do some it poops in the pocket or out of pocket. We'll be back. We are back with the last segment, Pocket Heads. In the pocket with Colville Hudson, Typhoo Panda, and Kyle Collier.
You know what it does.
And you are listening to 94.5 FM 1510 AM ESPN Kansas City. And let's get right into it. Pause. Caleb Williams. Real quick, we don't have a lot of time. Are y'all sold? Well, I'm not going to. It's not the question, are you sold as him as a number one pick? But are you sold as him being the guy that's going to be able to turn around the Cowboys? The Bears?
No.
No?
Not sold on that at all.
What about you, Kyle? And why not real quick?
I think he's their best chance.
He is the best chance.
Anybody's best chance at quarterback. Like I said, you special just making it to the NFL, you know. That's a very small window to get there.
Out of the quarterbacks in the draft, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, there's more. But Caleb Williams is the number one pick and has been for probably a year and a half now.
So the reason I am not sold on Caleb is because I think his personality. I think he has an odd personality. There's not a lot of guys that rally behind Caleb, but there's a lot of guys that says he's good, he has talent.
So you don't think that it's going to gel well there?
Well,
they got him some talent, though. DJ Moore and Keenan Allen now.
They did, but did you see the interaction with Keenan Allen at his pro day?
Yes, they dapped up.
Well, yeah, but
Caleb had work to do. It was quick.
Yeah, but he did a weird – so he saw Keenan Allen, his new acquired receiver – that was there to see his new quarterback, and Caleb walked out there and did the whole, you know, it's a cornball thing to do, but you know when you're kind of like, he was walking,
so
looking this way, and then he turned, hey, guy. Like, but he has history of just,
you're not sold because you think he acts
all right,
a little funny.
You name me the quarterback that had a weird or questionable personality
that was
successful in the NFL.
Aaron Rodgers.
He hasn't won in 20 years.
He
won one Super Bowl on the backs of a great defense. Look at that Super Bowl run.
But he came in.
Who came in
doing great, though.
Aaron Rodgers had the easiest path to a Super Bowl, and then who he played against. I forgot. I can't think of it right now.
You can't say easy role.
You can.
Especially when you're talking Super Bowl. That is not an easy role.
Well, of course. But
Aaron Rodgers, you said name a quarterback.
Okay.
That came in. Aaron Rodgers.
Give me another one. Dan Marino didn't win the Super Bowl because his personality was just off. He was kind of.
Oh, come on. That can't be it.
It's true.
Jeff George had a little small success.
Russell Wilson is corny as hell.
He won two Super Bowls. He's going to go.
Okay, how is that going for him right now?
Okay, right now, but he still
right now. He's 37. He's old.
Pete Carroll and the Seahawks organization actively hid Russell Wilson. They actively babied him when he got to the Broncos.
They still went to two Super Bowls.
But can we say they won those Super Bowls because of Russell Wilson, or is it because of Legion of Boom?
Because he was a damn good quarterback. And yes, he was a huge factor.
He was a damn quarterback.
Are you gonna take the Super Bowl away from Mahomes this year because of the Legion of Kansas City defense? That's not what they're called.
That is gross. Don't you ever do that again.
He tried it.
Don't you ever do that again.
He tried it.
It's Sack Nation.
Kansas City Sack Nation.
Sack Nation.
But guess what, though? As corny as Russell Wilson may be, and as weird as he is, like you claiming, you know what I'm saying, Caleb to be, it was just, hey, look, we don't have to be friends. Let's just go and do a job. You just got through saying, I don't care about fun.
Okay, so if that's the case, let's see Caleb in with the Bears for 3 years, and then he'll be gone. Josh Freeman from Grandview. I graduated from Ruskin. We played against Josh Freeman. Picked him off sophomore year. That's neither here nor there. He had an odd personality. Nobody could connect with him. Nobody could, like... Nobody.
Those quarterbacks, they're all a little bit different.
But his longevity might not be there.
Okay, last little critique here. Over the last 3 years of Caleb playing college basketball football, how many players did he make better around him? That is the biggest question.
Can't name any USC football player.
Yes, you can't. You can't.
Can you?
No, because he is not a.
And I didn't watch any USC football.
So I didn't watch a lot.
So
I'm
saying he's like a Lamar
Jackson.
Now,
what gets me about him is they call him Patrick Mahomes Jr.
Well, because he can throw
on the run.
On the run, he can move his hips.
He can
improvise. Yes, but I think he's missing what Patrick Mahomes has, which is the likability,
the killer.
He cried after losing the Washington.
I did see that, and he got hated on for that.
He cried aggressively, not like
he cried. That's true.
Like I'm sure it looked like he was, you know, like no, like come on.
You heard a few. That lip.
Once that lip started quivering.
That lip bounced off them teeth.
We're not going to have time for it poop today, are we? How much time we got left? 1 minute. Quick it poop.
Hey.
In the pocket or out of pocket?
Rolls finish over 500 this year.
Over
500. Even if it's by one game?
I got it. I'm slightly out.
That's out because that would be what the biggest turnaround.
That would be That would be 30 added wins.
We went from worst to first before.
Yeah, but that was a 10-year process.
And we went from first to worst.
We got Salvi when he was like 8 years old and started preparing him to be a catcher.
They already signed him when he was 12.
Yes.
No, 16.
And he still, I get it, hit the baseball. All right,
real quick, Chiefs get our speedster, Xavier Worthy.
Huh?
They have to trade up for him. I don't think they can trade up.
We got an extra pick for next year.
That's true. That's true.
We will be back next week. We will discuss the draft. We will discuss more Caleb Williams. We'll for sure get to in the pocket or out of pocket.
Blaine Gabbert gets signed this week. In or out?
Out.
Out. Yeah. We'll be back next week to talk about stuff. Out of here.
Peace.